to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations.
Yay. Cheers.
Welcome to our cultural misappropriation episode.
The cultural misappropriation of Lauryn Hill.
Well, yeah. You've been warned. We are going to explore things at an adult level. Yes. So if you are not an adult or have non-adults with you, you have been warned that we might use grown-up language from time to time. And we also will tiptoe right up to the line of heresy and leap right over it when we feel blasphemy coming our way. Because how else can you be church drunk?
Yeah.
If you don't, just dive right in.
Life isn't worth living unless you occasionally blaspheme.
Wow, it's like Cletus Guest is here today, everyone. We're Catholic. You don't have to be to listen along and let us know what you think. So today we are drinking some festive things because it is Cinco de Mayo.
So we're recording in the closing hours of Cinco de Mayo. Well, I guess for us it's the closing hours of Cinco de Mayo.
For some people it's just starting.
Yeah, like we already had our margaritas and tacos, but
that's right, we did.
For some people it goes beyond that, actually, the celebration of Cinco de Mayo, turns out. So
just people north of the border, typically.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll talk about that. So, yeah.
What are you drinking, Gus?
I'm just having a beer. At this point, I'm having a lovely IPA.
Okay.
I ran, 6 miles yesterday.
Woo.
And so I feel like I'm entitled to
sit
down and have a damn India Pale Ale. Yeah. What about you?
In fairness, you did have your margaritas earlier.
I did, yeah.
And we ran out.
Yeah.
So
you're like, what should we do for this episode? I was like, well, I guess we can't have margaritas.
Aww. Well, I'm sticking with the theme.
Yeah, at least you are on
point. I have a lovely Bohemia imported from Mexico. Lovely beer. So I don't know what you exactly call these. It's still a pretty light beer.
It's a Pilsner.
It's a Pils.
Wouldn't that H be silent? Wouldn't it be Bohemia?
Yeah.
Well.
Wow, there we go. Sum it all up right there.
Who's culturally appropriating now?
I don't know. It's very complicated.
Taking that H and dropping it into a language.
I know, but I feel like if I'm like, oh, Bohemia, like, H in Mexico. Like, I mean, oh, Cinco de Mayo. Vamos a celebrar.
There we go. So,
I don't know.
Today, we're talking about cultural appropriation.
Yeah. And we just gave a great example.
We're doing a bang up job of it so far. So it is Cinco de Mayo, which is a celebration that is very odd in a lot of ways, in all truthfulness.
Yes. So it's celebrated fanatically by the beer drinking party crowd in the States.
And by a lot of people in the United States that have Mexican heritage. There is like a large cultural celebration.
Sure, it's become then
that.
A secondary cultural celebration.
Right.
And every Mexican restaurant is like, we will for sure cash in on that and also celebrate it with you. So
it's
not, anyways, not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
No.
But in the U.S., it's an odd dichotomy of people who consider it to be part of their heritage, part of their cultural identity, and then just like a bunch of like sunburned white people eating tacos.
Cinco de drink.
Right. And
my Bohemia.
If you try and trace back the roots of it to be like, okay, so where does this go? Because that's kind of what you and I do sometimes. We take something like St. Patrick's Day where it's like, love the corned beef and cabbage, love the this, love the that. But then you trace it back and you go, well, who was St. Patrick? And you realize how horrified St. Patrick would be.
Doesn't stop us,
we do it anyway.
Yeah, so we know though. We know better.
So you trace back St. Patrick, you trace back Cinco de Mayo, and you find in the town of Puebla, a military victory against
long odds against
some French troops that had not far-reaching ramifications in terms of it's. A lot of people think that it's Mexican Independence Day. It
is
not.
And I think that is a bit of a screech for most people of Mexican heritage, because Mexican Independence Day is celebrated in a big way, and that's September 16th.
Right.
But that's not really celebrated in the States outside of maybe like little local cultural things. It's not like a big day.
So for Cinco de Mayo, if you actually go to Mexico, there will be some localized celebrations in and around the city of Puebla.
This was a big deal for Puebla.
Right.
It was not a big deal for Mexico.
But you would not find, if you go to any random city on this day in Mexico, you wouldn't find huge celebrations and anything like that. So it's one of those days that as corporate America tends to do, they just sink their claws right into like, oh, there's a celebration, you say?
Can we sell you something
for
that?
Can we make a profit off of this, right? Can we make some cards that you have to send to friends and loved ones? Or can we sell some extra beers on this day? Or can we whatever, right?
I wonder if it'll come full circle where because of, like, globalization and, like, American everything, if Mexico will start seeing more celebration of Cinco de Mayo.
I don't know.
Yeah. I hope not.
All I know is that there's a lot of white people cracking open piñatas that were made in China on this day, and they don't know why they're doing it.
You know what? We just love to celebrate. We are a party people, and drinking is our song. So, welcome to
Cultural Misappropriation, brought to you by Church Drunk.
Yeah, even though Cinco de Mayo is not, like, the most egregious, or even really even technically cultural misappropriation. I mean, it's getting there, sure.
And quite frankly, you know, to take a step off of the, like, you know, get off my lawn kind of mentality, like, having a reason to celebrate and have a party, like, hey, it's a great thing, right?
I mean, as things go on, we'll take what we can get.
As long as you can do it appropriately, which, again, getting back into get off my lawn
cultural
mode.
Cultural inappropriation.
A lot of people cannot do that on Cinco de Mayo. They cannot celebrate appropriately.
Yeah.
And you end up with, like, fraternities where, like, kids are wearing, you know, ponchos and fake mustaches. And it's
just
like,
dark real fast.
Kids, come on. So, can you walk the line of having a celebration, understanding what that celebration is about, and then honoring the tradition of it? We have found, with minimal amount of research, that the answer is oftentimes no.
You know, I think partly it's no because people are always going to have a different opinion about where the line is.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We can all justify anything if we talk long enough. So,
and it is kind of fascinating what's happening right now in the States with, you know, Cinco de Mayo being a prime example, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Corona starts pumping it with commercials and stuff for you know, weeks, months in advance. But also, when you look at the celebration of Dia de los Muertos, right? So there's Halloween, which people get excited for. That's kind of like goes back to, like, Puritan days and beyond, if you really look at the roots of that holiday.
Sure.
But there's Dia de los Muertos in Mexico and throughout, you know, Central America, South America. There's different celebrations of this, but it's huge in Mexico. And there's, like, everywhere you look now, there's, like, these stylized, like, skull sweatshirts and t-shirts and, like, oh, look. And I think a lot of people that are doing that don't have any idea.
Well, and in Mexico, it even began more regionally as, like, big celebrations. Like, lots of people would celebrate it, but it was really, like, in Oaxaca or in Mexico City where you saw, like, the giant stuff.
Yeah.
And now it's becoming more popular everywhere. So what comes first, you know?
Yeah. But I just think it's kind of funny that, you know, the environment that we're in right now in the United States, where our president is encouraging people to cast a very dubious eye on people crossing our southern border. And yet a lot of people who are standing behind that and promoting that and saying that they agree with that are the same jackasses that are wearing, like, a calavera on their sweatshirt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's, you know,
or like doing the makeup for their party.
Figurines. Yeah, you know, it's like they have no idea that the culture that they're pushing away is the same one that they're embracing. Like,
well, and that's a common theme and a common story for pretty much, like, every non-white culture has experienced that, right? Like, there's a lot of talk about black culture being, you know, that's when it becomes cool, is when, like, white people start wanting to wear certain things, wear their hair a certain way.
Right.
And it's like, hey, like, that was not okay when it was just black people doing that, and now that you want it to be yours.
Well, and depending on your perspective, that may be when it becomes cool, or that may be when it becomes not cool anymore.
Right, but, like, I'm just saying we see the same pattern.
Right, totally.
Right? Like, this is not a new theme.
Exactly.
But today is Cinco de Mayo, so
today
we're talking
Cinco de Mayo
about that part.
Yeah, yeah. So,
all right.
We have this tradition of appropriation, not just in our, like, secular culture.
Right, so where does this come into our Church Drunk lives? Turns out it was not hard to kind of make the leap and think about what are some things that Holy Mother Church has been like, that's great. Also, we own that
what
now.
What has the Catholic Church Cinco de Mayo'd in their history and been like, oh, you have celebration? Now we have a celebration.
Not quite the same. I feel like it was kind of a mix up, a mixture, I should say, of like the church being like, we want to celebrate this.
Right.
You're already celebrating that. Yeah. How about we just put a new label on it, which is still not that cool.
It's not, but there's two perspectives on it, right?
Yes, it's complicated.
So I think that there are folks who look at it, and not incorrectly, they say that the Catholic Church has a history of appropriating holidays, right?
Right.
So the classic examples being Christmas and Easter, which were pagan celebrations that predate Christianity.
Yes.
And the church and Christians, I guess before it was even really the Roman Catholic Church, Christians.
Yeah.
Just kind of co-opted those holidays and said, oh, well, if you guys are already celebrating, the fertility goddess during the springtime, well, why don't we talk to you about new life? Let's really celebrate new life. And so we'll take your holiday and we'll turn it into our holiday. And that is in some ways a very inappropriate thing to do, to say your tradition is going to go away. And it will be just very blatantly replaced by our tradition.
I mean, it's like the earliest days of marketing. Right. You know, it's like, like we don't want to take away your celebration. Like that would be hugely unpopular.
Right.
But we want you to label yourselves as Christians now. We are going to make sure you do so. We are advocating this. And hey, look, we celebrate on this day too.
Right.
Just this new thing. You're still celebrating. You can keep the same traditions. In fact,
we're
just going to call it something else.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty genius.
It
evil
is.
Evil genius almost.
Well, and so there's the part.
Except they're giving something good.
So here's the counterpoint, right? So it's like people say, well, you know, it's really inappropriate to just take somebody's holiday and to kind of force them to celebrate something different on that holiday. And we were kind of saying, you know, like what if there was a maybe, I mean, it's tough for us to, well, it's not that tough for us to invent new religions. I think we've done it before on the podcast.
I was saying
you know, what if people just said, well, you know, Christmas, like, Christmas, it's when Jesus was born. And they go, yeah, no, we're going to change that to a celebration of, you know, the enlightenment of the Buddha. And it's like, but it's Christmas. It's like, we already know what it's for.
They're like, well, what do you like about Christmas? Is it the presents? Because the Buddha's giving you presents
right,
too.
Right, exactly, like, right? So it's just kind of like, well, you know, on one level, it feels very wrong. But on another level, we talked about the idea of, missionaries who you can argue till you're blue in the face about the appropriateness of missionaries going to foreign lands and saying, hey, you have your own culture, your own traditions, but I'm bringing you these new traditions. And in some ways, just kind of like encouraging you, and in other ways, just forcing you to celebrate these traditions.
Yeah, but it's hard to untangle the two things,
right.
You know, and because of the difference in like cultures that they were coming from, like the societies that they went into, and issues about wealth and resources, like all of that really played into it. If we give the missionaries, like if we were to look at them on their own, we said, look, these are people who left their whole lives and homes and went somewhere where they would probably not come back from. Like they gave their whole life because they believed in the gospel.
Yeah.
And they, like, that's like the good side of it, right? Like they were sincerely wanting to share something that they really thought was valuable. The delivery system
is
where we're starting to have issues.
When missionary work is done correctly, you can have an argument that there is no way to do it correctly.
Right.
But, you know, the times where it is less destructive is when, you know, somebody moves to a new place with a new culture and they have a vested interest in getting to know the people there and getting to know the culture there. And so, you know, for those missionaries at the time of, you know, Christianity spreading across the world, they had Christ in their hearts and they showed up in a new place that had never heard of Christ. And so it was like, I'm here to help. I'm here to learn from you. I'm here to work with you. And then eventually you're going to ask me questions about like why I would ever do something like this. And I'll tell you the story of Jesus.
And that's like the best version of
it. That's the very idealized version.
The paradox too is that people could have Jesus in their hearts and want to share him and also look down on the people they were coming to.
And
so like it didn't have the same level of respect.
I have Jesus in my heart. And if you don't, I'm going to torture you until you do. And
or I'm going to treat you like children and never give you control of the new churches that we are starting here.
Totally.
Like there's all these different, and some did it better than others,
right?
We have talked about in the past, like another alcohol focused episode, I think, you know, about some of the missionaries who went and really did learn new languages, make, you know, dictionaries of them and try to integrate those people with the world that was coming to them one way or another.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think we see varying levels of respect. The documents, even of Vatican II, were wrestling with this, right? Like of how the liturgy could be celebrated around the world and incorporating not just Western Europeans' ideas of what's appropriate in the Mass, but saying you should incorporate local symbols and local traditions that are meaningful to that culture and that people.
Yeah.
So we kind of have both and in the church. We got a real shady history, but we also do have some good intentions.
Right. Well, and in terms of, you know, appropriating the holidays, which is kind of what we're thinking about today, you know, like, would it have been better or worse to show up and say, so you have this celebration, right? That is the celebration of new life in springtime. You don't get to celebrate that anymore.
Right.
But on February 3rd, we will celebrate the resurrection, or like, you know, like whatever it was. Right, and obviously Easter kind of ties to Passover, you know, like in terms of that whole story. But, you know, like Christmas is very much a dead of winter celebration that has pagan roots for when the nights are, the longest nights of the year have gone, and now they're going to get shorter and there's going to be more daylight. So there's light being brought into the world. Well, what if you were just told you don't get to celebrate that at all, right?
Yeah,
we're
going
to force you to convert and you're not allowed to have any connection to what you were before. Would that be worse? Would that be better?
I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't accelerate people's adoption of this new faith.
Their goal, right?
Right. Like this is a good marketing strategy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you got to give it credit for what it is.
For sure. And it's, I mean, it's, and it also, you know, it goes back to predating any of that missionary work. There was, you know, the tradition was a new ruler, a new local governor would take over and bring his gods with him, or her gods with her sometimes. Yeah. And they would go in and they would destroy all the old temples and all the old idols and they would install new ones. And it was a violent takeover, which, you know, Catholic Church has some traditions of that as well.
And oftentimes in those cases, the old religion lies dormant or is practiced silently in homes, very secretively. And it comes back when that guy moves on.
Yeah. Once there's another change of power.
So say what you will about the church. It has had a pretty successful adoption rate in the places it's gone to.
Yeah. And now it's time
for holidays have to be part of that.
What John Paul II called for the new evangelization. Now that you can't go somewhere and say, hey, have you guys heard of Jesus? Because the answer is pretty much always going to be like, yeah, heard of him. Now it's like, well, how do you actually get people to know Jesus?
And now we're going back to those places and saying, hey, do you guys want to come back over here now?
Maybe be less of an asshole next time around for the new evangelization. Just a thought.
Hey, cheers to that.
Yeah.
Don't be an asshole. New evangelization, I guess.
Oh, man.
All right, so it's been a while on Church Drunk since we did something just for stupid fun, and we successfully...
I mean, I would argue that we always do stupid just for stupid fun.
Yes, but we haven't had like a game segment or a Mad Libs or anything just silly.
And as you said, blame it on Lent.
Yeah, Lent was, you know, stupid, Lent, and we really tried hard. But now we're in Easter, and it is time to celebrate. We're still in Easter, guys. It's so long, too. We just don't think about it that way. And we wanted to do something fun. So we were thinking about holidays and replacing them with things as the church does. As traditional churchy people following ancient practices.
So we're going to have a game of cultural misappropriation where we will pick from two separate sets of information.
Okay.
On one, we have written down three celebrations with which everybody should be more or less familiar.
Yeah.
But we'll do a little recap of what happens on those days.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll pull a card for which holiday we are going to be appropriating.
Changing.
So we'll take as early church did, we'll say, hey, this is what we used to celebrate on this day. And then we will pull a separate set of information where you and I have written some church drunk holidays.
Yeah.
Some church drunk specific holidays.
We are church drunk missionaries to modern day holidays.
Spreading the good
word.
Here
we go.
So we're going to take a pre-existing celebration day and place our own celebration on it. All right?
Yeah.
So
pretty
you
excited
go first.
About this.
There you go. Pick a card, any card. All right.
I chose December 25th used to be the winter solstice or Yule, and it became Christmas when baby Jesus is born.
Yes.
December 25th. Now,
it will be. And pick.
I'm probably going to have to put down my Bohemia so that I can unfold.
Tragedy of tragedies.
I know, it's
Putting
really hard.
Down the Bohemia.
If I had three hands, I'd always have a beer in one. Okay. So December 25th is no longer Christmas. It's becoming Sleepaway Day.
I like that one.
I do like sleeping. Yeah. Everyone, in which, and on now our new holiday Sleepaway Day, everyone takes a siesta, but it is not allowed to be in your own bed. Bring your hammock to the town square or perform a nap swap by trading beds with a special friend. Oh, right? I did not come up with this one, and I am delighted to read it, especially because I just can't help but hear nap swap with a special friend and right? a special guest voice.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you have a really special friend, you can bring them to your nap swap, so mm-hmm. it's like two people get to sleep in some other random stranger's bed.
Can you also like swappity swap both ways, like you and your friend swap?
Well, you can't sleep in your own bed, so you can't like.
Oh, okay.
Are you talking about like swinger swap here? Because that's crazy. That,
yeah, I don't know.
I mean, you'd have to like sleep on the couch or something. I just
was going for all the swaps. There has to be a lot of swapping.
That is poorly planned to put it in the dead of winter to take your hammock and sleep on the town square.
No, no. But I'm just in. This is great for all these tropical locales. You
right.
know?
Yeah.
Or like little tents. You could have little tents with your little air mattresses. Yeah. I'm just envisioning.
Bring a space heater.
These like, communal. Or, you know, like the snuggle parties.
Yeah.
You can all just keep warm together. Everybody Nobody sleeps in the town square usually. Yeah. So do people have town squares still?
I don't know.
Is this like just being homeless? Did you write Homeless Day? They're all going downtown and sleeping.
The thought did cross my mind. I also thought of Occupy Wall Street.
The 1%.
Sleepaway Occupy Day.
Wow. Yeah. Guest was so crafty in the cute naming. We almost didn't notice what he was trying to do. How churchy of you.
I know.
Wow. Right? Major points.
Sneaky, sneaky.
Okay. All right. Now it's your turn to pick. All right.
And our date is October 31st mm-hmm. / November 1st.
Yeah.
Used to be... how do you say that one again?
Samhain.
Yeah.
I don't know why you say it like that, but that's what you do.
Yeah,
say
that's one of those Gaelic root ones, I believe. which was the night when the dead would come out to play. It was
the fairies.
The fairies, and it
the
was
worlds
all
are
about,
close.
The closeness of those two worlds. It was what between winter solstice and the equinox.
Yes.
Right, halfway between that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like everything's
October
getting
31st.
Darker, and there would be big bonfires and festivals.
And even dressing up and stuff was part of it.
Right.
It's like we do a lot of that on Halloween, what people have been doing a long time for Samhain.
So out of that grows the tradition of Day of the Dead, and also the Feast of All Saints and Feast of All Souls, which is how it was appropriated by churchiness. And now that will be no longer Feast of All Saints and All Souls, but... Oh! Another of mine.
Oh, one of your own.
It's going to be Sacrilege Day.
Oh my gosh. He just goes for the jugular.
It's a one-day abdication of all religious practices. No more priests, no more nuns, no more monks. All are released from their vows for just one day every year.
The purge?
Any references to any deity are strictly forbidden, including the use of the terms God damn it or God bless you after a sneeze. Peeing in and on churches is encouraged, but not obligatory. Imagine the purge, but for Jesus. That's exactly what I wrote. So
I feel like Jesus would watch with great amusement.
I know.
Be like, look at these people.
You idiots.
You all love me so much. All my religious who gave their whole lives. All
right.
Let's do this last one kind of together because... There's only one holiday left.
Holiday left.
Yeah, so it's Easter.
It's Easter, right?
The second, which always, even though she tells us like five times this year alone, that Easter always falls on the second Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. Thank you, Mrs. Guest.
Yes.
It used to be the celebration of fertility, and it became Easter, the resurrection, and now it will be... I'm just going to pick the one I want from one of mine.
Yeah, whatever it is, just pick your favorite. We'll read the extras at the end, probably.
I feel like this is... No, not that one.
No.
I picked one that was just fun, that I really liked those things. That was my, like, 3M day. That one's more for you. Okay, this is the one. This is the Me Too hashtag Times Update.
Ooh, wow.
Where each family chooses a well-known or personally known violator of sexual rights and affixes this violator's name and likeness to a sturdy backing. Each family member hurls the weapon of their choice at the likeness, screaming, "Time's up!"
Time's with up, the name, bitches.
And all the other family members solemnly answer, "Me too."
Me too. Wow. Wow.
In the evening, all families process their damaged violator likenesses to a central location for a bonfire and s'mores.
I feel like if we pair this with Sacrilege Day, it might not be a likeness, right? It might be actual violators that are being strung up in the streets. Yeah.
Well, maybe, like, if we set them up where it's, like, the second Sunday after the equinox or the days, like, some years they will converge,
right,
and that will be the year where it's not the likeness.
Wow. So we have Christmas has become...
Christmas became Sleepaway Day.
Sleepaway Day.
A delightful holiday. Only positive things happen on Sleepaway Day.
Easter.
Unless someone violates you, in which case you can't get them back. Geez.
On they all tie
too.
Together. We've invented our own religion, but it revolves around sexual misconduct.
It's like we are Catholic.
We knew it was always going to happen.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Cheers.
All right.
Okay, well, he'll drink, then I'll drink. But let's just say.
So, wait.
Okay, and then.
Christmas became Sleepaway Day.
Well,
Easter became Me Too
Me
Day.
Me Too Day.
And then Halloween / All Saints, All Souls became Sacrilege Day.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Which really paired up nicely, I feel.
Quite a liturgical calendar.
I mean, we could just keep adding to
it. So, what was in the bag? Oh, what was in the bag that you didn't end up reading?
Oh, I had some just like nicer ones. We would have had like a less fraught, but I think the Holy Spirit helped us pick because we also would have had Artisanal Hipster Cocktail Day,
ooh,
and we would have had Ancient Stationery Day.
Right.
So
these can be lesser holidays,
just like you would think of.
Not the high holy days, but the lesser days.
Right. Just those little ones that pop up and that some people celebrate, some people don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Mine that didn't get picked was Rumpeltide.
was this your three one?
Yes, this
he has three whole post-it notes for this one.
So imagine holy, or if that's how it's pronounced. My Hindu holy days are not really up to snuff when it comes to pronunciation.
Holy, but
holy with an I. Yep. The Hindu celebration colors. Encouraging playful laughter, generous love, repairing broken relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine the opposite,
mm-hmm,
and that's Rumpeltide. So instead of running through the streets with brightly colored dye and celebrants are going to grab fistfuls of one another's clothes and squeeze until the fabric is irreparably wrinkled for the remainder of the day. Nobody laughs, nobody has fun, and no relationships are healed. In fact, deep rifts can often form as everyone ends the day, both grumpy and frumpy. Rumpeltide.
You're ridiculous. I hope after Rumpeltide, everybody can enjoy artisanal cocktail and also send each other a handwritten letter on Ancient Stationery Day.
I think Artisanal Cocktail Day should be the only appropriate ending to Rumpeltide. Like, you go into a bar and you just sit down, like, completely wrinkled, and you're like, ugh.
Well, I was trying to make it
taste good.
You know, like, a lot of restrictions. You had to have something that was, like, a heritage or heirloom shrub or liqueur.
Oh, yeah.
You had to have, like, at least four ingredients. It had to have a garnish. And if you were not of age, you had to do all the dishes, like, which had to be hand washed because, like, special strainers and stirs and shakers.
You got to earn it to be able to celebrate. Like, the kids' table on Artisanal Cocktail Day.
Yeah, children
sucks.
Work on Artisanal Cocktail Day. They don't get to enjoy it.
I think you might just be describing, like, our next day of recording. Where
it might be.
We will be making artisanal cocktails that follow your specific guidelines.
It might.
Right, well, what is our next episode going to be about? Actually, I think it's time for
us. We're going to revisit our Lenten book, Between Darkness and the Daylight. Or is it? Yeah, I think I said it right this time. By Sister Joan Chittister. And it's just this like little series of reflections. And we didn't love it as we went through Lent, but we want to give it justice. And we want to do a little wrap up about that book.
Yeah.
So we know some people were reading it along with us.
Yeah, that will be our final episode of this sort of quote unquote season. As we finish out our Lenten and into Eastertide sort of podcast series. And then we'll probably come back with a bonus one sometime. Yeah. Usually around...
June-ish.
We start up a new one for summertime, right? A whole new season. But a lot of times we'll do a Pentecost kind of bonus episode.
That's
something like
true.
That. So that's where we're headed. We're almost done with our weekly-ish sequence for Lent and Easter.
I think we did.
Yeah, pretty close.
Pretty close.
But we will be back next week to talk about our Lent book and a few other closing thoughts for the season, and then we'll be ready to move on. So if you have any requests or suggestions for either our final episode or what you'd like to hear us discussing for our summer sequence, then feel free to email us, churchdrunk@gmail.com.
Or you can tweet us at churchdrunkpod. We'd also like to know, if you were making a new holiday to replace some old one, what would you do?
Yeah. How would you celebrate Rumpeltide?
Or Sleepaway Day.
Anyway. Well, we will see you back here one more time for this season at Church Drunk.
Yeah.
Where our cultural misappropriation always leads us
back to the cocktails.
Down a pathway of sexual misconduct and cocktails.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, me too. Cheers.
Peace.